Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome to Mediocrity Podcast, your favorite podcast, because we are all Star Wars The Last Jedi today. This is like 2 years in the making since we started this podcast, and we get to talk about The Last Jedi Star Wars. We are so excited. We've all three seen it. If you listened to our last episode, Jonathan Atterbury had not seen it yet. And we pretty much didn't talk about it. Jeremy and I didn't talk about it. But Jonathan Atterbury finally saw it. And we can't wait to tell you all about this. This is going to be a Last Jedi Star Wars podcast. So if you haven't seen Last Jedi, The Last Jedi yet, I would recommend not listening to this, because we will talk spoilers.
Well, do listen. Just listen after you've seen it.
Yes, correct, correct. Yes.
So just hit pause and come back after you've seen the movie, because this is going to be chock full of spoilers.
Yes, and we have so much to get to Last Jedi-wise, but we've all seen it. First off, how are you guys? Jeremy, John?
Oh, I'm great.
Awesome. Yeah.
Good. Before we get into The Last Jedi, I have to say that for you people who are wondering how well I'm doing in Star Wars Battlefront 2, I am getting slightly better at it. I've even beaten Jeremy at it, which is so good.
So when he says he's beaten me, we play on the same team.
That's true. We do play on the same
team. So he's not really, like, defeating me, per se, because that's not accurate.
Well, I think maybe it's more of an emotional defeat. Just seeing Brian's name a little higher on that scoreboard, I think just kills a little bit of Jeremy's soul every time.
If it helps us win games, I'm down for it.
He says this as he's shaking his head, by the way.
Hey,
the mouth says yes, but the body says no.
Hey, he has his moments. Not many of them, but he has them.
Yeah, I like healing people. That's what I'm good
at. That's from Empire Strikes Back, Kluger.
It is? What's Empire Strikes Back? Oh, well.
It's a sequel to Episode 1.
To Star Trek or Star Wars?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. There's just silence there. All right. Last Jedi, Last Jedi, Last Jedi. Last week, you knew that Jeremy and I really liked it. But Mr. Atterbury, The Last Jedi, your thoughts right now. Initial thoughts.
Oh, initial thoughts were something along those lines. I loved it, man. The whole time I was watching that movie, I was in the zone, as we might call it. I wasn't thinking about anything else in the world. All that existed throughout the entirety of that movie was that movie. And I was completely into it. And I had a gigantic, stupid smile on my face for the whole movie.
Good, 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 good. I think that's how Jeremy and I were. I think Jeremy and I really just enjoyed everything about that. There were tears, there were laughs, and there was edge of your seat suspense and just overall nostalgic love, I think.
Brian liked it so much, on the way home he said to me, "I really need to watch the prequels again."
That is, and that is a very true statement. I did say that. To which
that's
Jeremy,
how much he liked this movie.
So he didn't say I need to watch the original trilogy again. Just I need to watch the prequels again.
Yep, exactly. Words.
I love
you.
So
prequels.
Much.
Yep. And Jeremy replied with, "Come over anytime. We'll watch. I'll watch them with you." So,
dude, I'm telling you, you got to rewatch them, and you got to just watch them without your movie critic lenses on.
Okay.
Watch them as a fan of Star Wars.
Okay. Watch them with me. Take off your internet goggles and just enjoy them.
Okay. All right. I will do that. I will do that. But yes, that is a true statement. I absolutely said that on the way home with Jeremy when we first saw it. Okay, so Star Wars The Last Jedi, this is the second film in this new trilogy. The first was Force Awakens, and now we have The Last Jedi. And the movie picks up pretty much right where the last one left off. So did y'all like... So some people are bashing this movie for some reason. They say it's too jokey, it's too silly, it's too much for kids. They don't like the humor in it. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? Like, I don't get it. This was great. I liked it.
I think that's just the people that are going to find something to complain about no matter what.
Yeah, and another big complaint that just I find hilariously almost to the point of stupid is when people are like, it's not what I was expecting. And it's like, well that's good. A good thing. Yeah, like, you know, who wants, you know, like they made the Force Awakens and that was kind of a cookie cutter Star Wars movie remaking, you know.
And all these fuckers complain.
Yeah. And it's like, so they do something completely different and they're crying because it's not what they expected. It's like, man, it's like, just go stick to some Transformer movies and shut the fuck up.
That's what I want to say. The worst thing about Star Wars are basically some of the fans. It's the same thing with wrestling, with pro wrestling. The worst thing is like a lot of the fans because they're so angry and like they just can't be happy. I don't know. That's
it's true. It's like the same people that want to hate on the prequels, you know? Bunch of little whiny bitches.
There are issues with those prequels.
Of course there are. There are issues with all the movies, really, if you look at it, except for maybe Empire Strikes Back, which is pretty perfect. But outside of that, there's stuff that you could focus on about every movie and go, man, that movie was stupid, if you wanted to.
Yeah. So let's talk about the first big... The big twist, I thought, was at the end of Force Awakens, Rey is staring at Luke Skywalker, you know, longingly, and like he looks at her, and she's handing him the lightsaber, and that's where the movie ends. When that movie picks up, when Last Jedi picks up, he takes the lightsaber, looks at it, and just throws it over his shoulder off a cliff. I didn't expect that at all.
No, none of us did. I think all of us probably laughed out loud in that moment. It was just so like, what? What just happened?
And I think that was a great prelude to like the rest of the movie. Like, wow, something's going to, you know, not be what I'm expecting. What did you think about that moment?
Oh, to me, that moment was a great, just like you said, kind of just telling that, hey, everything that you thought was going to happen in this movie isn't going to happen in this movie. It was kind of just like a slap in the face, like, all right, everyone that's been theorizing, just snap out of it. You're watching our fucking movie now.
Oh, the director of this movie is Rian Johnson, who directed Looper and Brick and a bunch of episodes of Breaking Bad. And before this Last Jedi movie came out this past Friday, Disney has given him his own trilogy of Star Wars to make in the future. So keep that in mind. Jeremy, when that moment happened, Luke throwing the lightsaber over his shoulder, what did you immediately think? I was sitting right next to you, but I was so focused, I didn't look at your reaction.
You know, it was really similar to John's, where I was like, the second it happened, I was like, you know, I knew we were going to be getting something different. You know, I wasn't expecting him to take the lightsaber and then get all emotional and be like, all right, let's go train and go off and do battle, because he's on the island for a reason. Like, he went there and, you know, secluded himself and hid away from everyone, you know, because he didn't want to be found. And so, I mean, obviously, like, someone finding him, you know, that's not really going to be good news for him to have somebody just show up.
Right. Right.
So I dug that he just kind of tossed it away, like, he, you know, but his reaction to me wasn't super surprising in that regard. But I did like the throwing of the lightsaber.
Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't think he was going to turn it on and like, yeah, like you said, let's kick ass. No, I think he was like going to take it and like this is no use to me anymore and hand it back to her. I just didn't think he just tossed it like it was like junk. That was so funny. I was like, whoa, what? And he just
there were a few really amazing Luke moments in this movie where it's just like sheer hilarity, basically.
Yeah, for sure. The also one of the first scenes of the movie, you have Poe Dameron flying a ship, talking to General Huxley on
space plane.
The space plane, the big space plane. That you know, the redheaded guy from the Force Awakens, he's back. But they were talking, and of course, General Huxley.
Did you call him General? Are you calling him General Huxley?
Is it General Hux or Huxley?
Just Hux.
Just Hux.
Just not Huxley. Yep.
No.
Only his mom calls him Huxley.
Okay. Well, damn. Well, General Hux. So he's like this character. He's like very proper, and he talks menacingly, and then he's like saying these horrible things to Poe, like how he's going to kill him. And then Poe's just fucking with them the whole time. Just like, oh, I'm still on hold for Hux. Is this Hux? Well, still on hold. Did y'all like that?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing in Force Awakens. Poe did it to Kylo Ren in the very first scene when they bring him down to Kylo Ren. And Poe's like, do I talk first or do you talk first? I can't hear anything with your mask on. I was like, oh, that's a great, you know, that was funny to see that they kind of brought that back. I liked that. Those were the first two moments, but I guess let's go to you guys. What were some big key moments that you really loved in this movie?
Oh man, so we're just doing a whole movie key moments thing. There's like, I could talk the next hour if you just ask me that.
Key moments. That was the thing about it. It was great.
Okay. Well, how about this? Let's talk about Leia. She was a huge part in this movie. There is a scene which a lot of people didn't like, but some people liked. I think we all three liked it, is when she is basically blasted out into the open vastness of space about to die. But we finally get to see her use the Force and Force pull her way and, you know, throw a door, a ship door, to survive. I guess in my opinion, the look, like the cinematography for that scene, I think could have been a little better. But I love that scene. I thought that was like, oh, like I got like tingles, like she's using the Force finally.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the fact that, you know, if Carrie Fisher hadn't died prior to this movie being released, I think it would have had a very different impact. Like all of us were like, man, Carrie Fisher's dead. We know that they're going to kill her off kind of in this movie or the series. And so when that scene happened, I think all of us were like, oh, my God, that's how they're fucking doing it. And it's horrible.
Yeah.
So I think. So to have that happen, which was so shocking, and then to have her use the Force and come back on the ship, all of us were like, oh, like, is it just such a big emotional roller coaster for the viewer?
Yeah. No, it really was. And she kind of like a badass with it. You're just like, whoa, she's using it. Is she going to survive? Or is she just going to get to the door? And but no, man, she did it. Jeremy, what'd you think?
I loved it. You know, you had a ton of people complain in the first movie. They didn't like that Leia was like a general. They wanted her to be, you know, there were people that wanted her to be some type of Jedi, have a lightsaber, you know, doing that kind of thing. But yeah, to me, it worked. It worked really well. It's like they found a way to work in, you know, her having a Force ability. You know, they didn't, you don't really need to know, you know, whether or not she had extensive training with Luke, or is she just kind of using the Force sort of on instinct to a certain degree? I mean, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was well done.
I agree. It was awesome. There's so many people that were just sitting there going, oh, you know, she doesn't have the Force. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like she's a Skywalker. We know that she's Force sensitive. Mm-hmm. And so, for like you said, the way they did it, leaving it open, like we don't know if she got trained between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. She may have had extensive Force training with Skywalker. We have no idea.
No,
yeah, exactly. And it works really well, you know, in that manner. And it's nice to see her do something that isn't kind of passive in the way that typically when we've seen Leia use the Force, it's small moments of like sensing someone's presence or like, you know, communicating with Luke, you know, or before that, like when Kylo flies the ship by the bridge, you know, she senses him kind of go past.
Right.
You know, and so we usually only see her use it in passive moments like that. So to get to actively see her use it to me was great.
No, that was yeah. damn good. So with Princess Leia, she was a badass for the whole movie. She's doing things. And by the end of the movie, she is not dead yet. I mean, she is alive. So my question is, since she's unfortunately passed away in real life, you got to hope that her character is not just given a line like, oh, no, she's retired. The Force pool put too much strain on her. She's retired happily now. You don't think that's going to happen? Or do you think somebody will just say on a ship, like, oh, she's on that ship and we see it blow up or something like that?
Well, so actually Kathleen Kennedy, to my knowledge, has said that Leia will not be in the last one whatsoever.
Correct, yeah.
So we're not going to have her on screen at all.
Yeah.
So we don't know. I guess, you know, I think Jeremy, he and I were talking about this kind of immediately after I saw the movie.
Yeah.
And he made a good point, which is, you know, they're going to have to. They have to address it. And he was saying, you know, they're probably going to end up doing something along like what they did in the last crew, or I'm sorry, in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Indiana Jones and just showing like, oh, you know, she died.
No.
Or something along those lines.
No, like that, you could just have wherever the resistance base, which now by the end of the movie there, they kind of stopped, which I thought was interesting, was they actually stopped calling them the resistance. And they started referring to them and themselves as rebels. So if they're going to, you know, so wherever the new rebel base is, I mean, it could even just be that, like, on one part of a rebel base hanging on a wall, you know, there's a velvet painting of Leia.
No, that could be it. I mean, hopefully they have to address it, because by the end of The Last Jedi, she is still an integral part. She is still the general. She is leading the
right.
rebellion to the other planet to regroup and fight back. So I'm sure, yeah, it's going to have to be like a line. They just cannot not address it. So, yeah, but
it'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting to see how they handle that in the last movie.
Correct. She was excellent. Let's move on from Leia and let's talk about, at least for Jeremy and I know Jeremy got emotional and I definitely got emotional during a fantastic cameo scene with Yoda, rubber puppet Yoda. I heard Jeremy sniffling, so I knew he was emotional, and I had the lump in tears in my eyes. John, did you get emotional during the Yoda scene?
I absolutely had the same reaction. It was, and I was surprised by it. I was like, wow, like I didn't think that anything in this movie, especially, you know, Han Solo dying in the last movie didn't make me feel like crying necessarily, but just seeing Yoda, I was like,
That just proves that you don't like Han Solo.
Yeah, that's exactly what it proves.
Jeremy, what, I don't know what, I mean, I'll talk to you guys about it. Like, I'm trying to figure out if it's just a nostalgic feeling of like loving Yoda for so long and then finally seeing him and then the rubber puppet and then him being like the silly Yoda again, and like, you know, just, you know, Luke kind of being the kid again, you know, to Yoda and still learning. I don't know. There was something about it that like brought me back to the first time I saw Star Wars, I think. That's what got me, I think. What do you think?
You know, for me, it's a couple things. It's, you know, it's like when you, because I mean, I saw the movie twice. I cried the first time, the second I saw him, and then the second time, I made it about halfway through it until he reminds Luke of the whole, like, pass on what you have learned. And then I was like, nope, okay, crying again. Here we go. But, you know, it's to me, like, when you watch Empire and you get that particular Yoda, you know, that's really the moment in Star Wars where Yoda is the one that kind of through teaching Luke, like, kind of explains really what the Force is kind of to the audience. So he's your real, you know, Obi-Wan is kind of like, you know, your first steps into a larger world type of thing and a new hope, as he says. But Yoda is really the one that teaches you what the Force is. And there's just so much, you know, it just sounds funny, but like, you know, just so much like the Yoda-isms that have just lasted since that movie came out. It's like all of that kind of started there. So when you see that and it's that Yoda and it's, you know, full on Empire Strikes Back rubber puppet Yoda, you know, it's just, it was just such a great moment.
Yeah. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of mystified by the whole thing, too. I've been trying to figure out why it had such a strong emotional reaction for me and for you guys. And all I can assume is that there's definitely a strong nostalgia factor. And I also think that just the shape of that movie, like, that was just kind of what brought it all together to me. That scene was kind of the turning point in the movie where suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, this, not only in this movie, but in the entire new series, like Force Awakens and Last Jedi. I don't think I had bought into these movies completely until that moment for some reason. When Yoda came on screen, the rubber puppet, and he had that philosophical, because that's one of the things that's been missing to me in the Star Wars movies so far. There's really been very little philosophy touched on. And to me, that's such an integral part of Star Wars. That's one of the things I love so much about it. And then we had Yoda bringing it in there. And so it's just like, oh my gosh, I can love these new movies. So I think that was part of it also, was just this relief that these movies are going to be okay.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
It was the clear cut moment when Luke was going to kind of not snap out of it, but, you know, that was going to be the point at which Luke was going to actively be a part of, you know, of the storyline, as opposed to just kind of hanging out on the island. Because I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really expecting Rey to change his mind and get him to kind of do a 180. Because, you know, it would be really tough for Rey to convince Luke. I was thinking it might take something else. And then, you know, when Yoda shows up, it's like Yoda is going to be the thing that kind of helps Luke get back on track.
That and the video R2 played, or the hologram. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was so awesome and brutal.
Yeah. He even said something like that. Yeah. Was like a low blow or something like that.
Yeah, like a cheap shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was so good. And just seeing him again was so great. And like I said, again, the silliness of him, like he wasn't serious. Like he just had a good time. And just like, oh, maybe he's happy where he is. And
I one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie is when he tells Rey to reach out with the Force, and she reaches out with her hand and he looks at it and then starts tickling her fingers with the grass.
Yeah.
And then she goes, do you feel that? Yeah, I feel it. That's the Force. You know, I laughed so hard in that moment. It was just so perfect.
That was such a great moment. And it's funny, because if you think about, like, everybody didn't like that he was silly, but, you know, it almost makes sense that he is, because if you think about how Yoda was, you know, when Yoda was Luke's teacher, like, Yoda had his serious moments, but Yoda, for the most part, was also really silly. You know, his entire first meeting of Luke was him fucking with Luke.
Yeah, no, completely. And he did. You brought up the good point, Jeremy, about the Jedi books.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say something like that?
Yeah, you know, like, Luke freaks out, you know, because Yoda burned down the tree and he thinks all the books are in there. But Yoda makes the comment of Rey already has everything she needs. Like, you know, Yoda knew Rey took those books. So he really just knew he was fucking with Luke even more by burning down the tree.
It's so good.
He never even told him Rey took the books. That was the great thing about it. Luke actually thinks those books burned.
Very much so. It was so good. Did y'all like seeing the did y'all think when you saw the Luke's plane, his X-wing, that he was going to rise it out of the water again?
I did think that when he was finally, like, convinced to take part in this, I thought we were going to see him, like, pulling it out of the water.
Oh, that would have been so good.
Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, that would have, you know, they obviously couldn't do that for the reasons we found out later.
True. And we'll get to that for sure. All right. So before we get into the other stuff, I was really nervous about these porgs, these little cutesy animals that we've been seeing in the trailers. There was one moment where I didn't like it, but other than that, they were barely in the movie. Thank God.
Yeah, they were barely in it, and I honestly liked it. I thought that they were fun. It made it feel a little bit more Star Wars-y. It had a good, kind of Lucasfilm vibe to it. It worked for me. I thought it was good touch.
Yeah, I was okay with the porks.
Yeah, me too.
I thought I was going to hate it.
So, yeah, me too. The only thing I was worried is I thought they were going to be like a character in the movie.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I found out they weren't really a character, I was totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like it makes sense.
Was awesome.
You know, you expect there to be like animals living on these worlds. It's part of like how you make it real is, you know, a planet and an island or whatever. It's like there's going to be animals and stuff that live on that island.
Correct.
So there's going to be, you know, like on Crate, those crystal foxes, it's like everybody was complaining about those. It's like, well, it's like, why wouldn't there be animals running around on these planets?
Yeah, and they used them very well with the story, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say the scene with Chewie and the porg eating was fantastic. Like, that was a good comedic break, I thought. I enjoyed that immensely. I'm trying to think of what else to talk about before we get into like the big stuff. Let's talk about the casino planet, where all the wealthy of the wealthy live in our gambling. That was okay. That was like your Mos Eisley cantina type of place. But what was cool about it is that when we were discussing it on the way home, Jeremy and I, after we saw it, he turned to me and he goes, "Dude, did you think there was a pod race scene coming?" Because there was a track and there were betting and there was a whole thing. And I'm like, oh, God, that's exactly what I thought, too.
I wish they had done that. I think that would have been some top level trolling, honestly. Like, no animals. It's pod racing, and that's one of the things that they're betting on. I think that just would have been epically fantastic.
Yeah, but there were no pod races. It was basically like a horse camel type of animal that they raced and bet on. But yeah, no pod. But it like the scene sets it up to where it like, wait, is this actually going to happen? It didn't. But yeah, that was a pretty good scene, and that scene we'll talk about later as well. But you get to see, you know, other parts of the galaxy where, you know, people are still used as slaves, and even kids are used as slaves and being whipped, and other things that we'll talk about later. Anything to add with that scene or anything?
One thing I want to add is that this is going to be a deep cut and something most listeners probably will have no idea what I'm talking about, but in the scene where they're talking about the master code breaker, right? And they're kind of mysterious about this. First of all, I'm sure some people, myself included, were like, oh my gosh, are we about to get Lando in this? I didn't really think of him as a code breaker, but when she said it's going to be at a high stakes table,
yeah.
I was like, maybe we might get Lando. Maybe they were just messing with us, but it didn't turn out to be Lando. It was Justin Theroux, right? Was the actor's name.
Right.
And there's a character in the Star Wars Expanded Universe named Talon Card that most people aren't familiar with because he's really just in the Timothy Zahn books. But he's always been depicted at pretty much looking exactly like Justin Theroux's character looked like. So I even sent Jeremy a picture of it afterwards, and he agreed, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't help but, like, to me, that's not something accidental. Like, they had to intentionally be either saying, hey, it's this character, or just kind of implying, maybe, you know, giving the viewers a thrill.
That's so funny. No, that was good. And it didn't turn out to be him either. It was basically the cousin of Benicio del Toro's character in Guardians of the Galaxy. Basically the same person, really. So do you think he'll play a bigger part, Benicio?
I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a return in the third film.
Okay. Do you hope he does?
I won't say I hope he does. I thought he was an okay part of the movie. It wasn't anything that was like, I got to see more of that guy, though.
Okay. All right. No, I got that. And that's cool that you say that, to see if, you know, they're bringing other people in from books and stuff like that. So that's cool.
Anybody that's curious, if you just type in or Google search Talon Card, that's K-A-R-D-E, I believe, for his last name, you'll look at it and go, oh yeah, it looks pretty much exactly like that character did. And who knows, that might have been what they were implying.
Do these chickens have large talons? Talon Card. No, not at all. Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Napoleon. Okay, so yeah, if you're looking for the Mos Eisley Cantina theme with all the different aliens and monsters and creatures, this casino scene does have all of that. And they're all basically in tuxes and everything. It's a good scene. All right.
Once again, we have a conspicuous lack of original Star Wars monsters. Original Star Wars races and aliens, I mean. You know, there are no Rodan, there are no Twi'lek, there are no Quarren, there are Gamorreans, or, you know, the only thing we've seen is a couple Sullustans, the guys that look like, you know, from Return of the Jedi, the guy was Lando's co-pilot.
Yeah.
That's the only other race aside from humans that we've seen that are familiar in the, you know, original trilogy or the prequels.
Right. Yep.
It's kind of strange.
And how do you have a gambling planet with, like, people that are, you know, war profiteering and basically wealthy gangsters? And how do you not have huts anywhere in there?
Yeah, it's really strange. Like, I can't understand why they're doing it. It's almost like they didn't get I know this isn't true, or at least I think this isn't true, that it almost seems like they didn't get the rights to use those freaking monsters, because there's just such a conspicuous lack of them in these movies. It's like, why would you deliberately create all new races and monsters and not show any of the ones that we're so familiar with? It's strange to see the resistance and not have anything except for one Sullustan and one Mon Calamari, you know?
No, it would have been awesome to see, like, a hut, or like a future generation of a hut at a table or something like that.
Rodan or something like that. You know, just to make it, you know, like, hey, we haven't forgotten that there are these races in these movies.
All right. Well, maybe next time, or maybe deleted scenes. Who knows? All right. So let's go on to the big thing, which was the biggest shocker, I think, of the movie. I'm just going to say three words and y'all will discuss. Supreme Leader Snoke.
is that the biggest shocker?
I feel like it.
Okay.
I thought it was definitely surprising.
None of us called it. We've talked about theories and everything, and that never came up. What happened?
Yeah, we weren't expecting that. I mean, I know I wasn't expecting that to go down like that.
To say what happened.
I loved it. So at the time when Rey goes to try to save Kylo from Snoke, and, you know, the point where Kylo is supposed to execute Rey, the lightsaber that Rey has, the Skywalker lightsaber, is sitting next to Snoke on his fancy little chair, and Kylo just kind of force turns it, points it at Snoke, turns it on, and basically cuts him in half at the waist and kills him. And it's awesome.
And this is very early on in the movie, like maybe a third of the way through.
And to me, I liked it because instead of having Kylo, because they mentioned that Kylo was supposed to be the heir to Vader. Well, Vader's whole thing was he was basically manipulated and tricked by Sidious to, you know, choosing the dark side of the Force and becoming Darth Vader. Well, when you do this and you have him basically kill his master, is at this point, Kylo isn't, you know, tricked or the victim. He basically is sort of the ideal of what Vader, you know, he's like the Vader that we kind of always thought we were getting. Is he's, you know, he's basically just, he's the bad guy.
Right. I was shocked. I like, wait. And like, at first I was in denial. I was like, he can't really be dead. And it's like, holy shit, they just fucking killed Snoke. Like, early in the movie. What's happening? And then the next scene is Kylo Ren and Rey back-to-back fighting together. And you're just like, wait a second. Who's going to be the bad guy now? What's going on?
It happened. So the moment that... So here's what happened in my theater. You guys can tell me if you saw something similar to this. In my theater, when Kylo Ren cut Snoke in half, grabbed the lightsaber, and they got back-to-back, Kylo Ren and Rey, that is, everyone in the theater fucking applauded. There was people like going nuts, like yes, and I was like yes, and we and I was thinking, oh my god, he's going back to the light side. And then as soon as the fantastic battle scene is over, you realize, oh shit, he's just going deeper down the rabbit hole. And it was such one of the, once again, just a really great emotional roller coaster. They're like, ah, he's going to be a good guy. Nope, just fuck you. He's going to be the bad guy.
Yep. Nope.
So did you guys experience the same thing? Were people applauding in that scene?
Yeah. I think I actually clapped. I'm like, yeah. And
there was a lot of gasping at that moment.
Yeah. I mean, critics usually don't do, critic screen usually doesn't do like a audible gasp or something, but there was a lot of participation in this one. But yeah, that, I mean, in like Snoke's Red Guards, man, holy shit, finally you got to see guards actually really good fighters. Like, I almost thought, like, oh shit, Kylo and Rey don't have a chance here. Like, they are gonna get killed. They were that good, and that fight scene was awesome.
Oh, that was such a fantastic fight scene to once again just see Jedi kicking ass, basically. It was wonderful.
So, the other big reveal there, and I'll get your guys' opinion on it, is Kylo Ren tells Rey, hey, you know it's true. Your parents are nobody. They just left you on a planet. They're nobody. You know? And so, do you think he's fucking with her? Or do you think it's the truth in that she's kind of like Anakin's mother? Kind of just like... or, you know, like Anakin, he just kind of, she just has the Force without having two people.
Well, now, okay, so every you don't have to have like Force-sensitive parents to be Force-sensitive. We got to address that. You can be, like we saw that kid sweeping at the end who had the Force,
yeah,
who was Force-sensitive, you know? I think it's like anybody really can be Force-sensitive, but I do think that he was just fucking with her. I still maintain that she is his twin sister.
Well, here's why I don't necessarily know if our previous theory is correct on that matter. Because if she's his sister and if he's trying to convince her to come with him, what better argument for him to get her to come with him than is there for him to just say,
"We're family.
You're my sister." You know, it's like, that to me is the quickest and easiest sell. You know, somebody actually that I was talking to had a great theory that, you know, Snoke was connecting their minds that you saw several times. And Snoke admitted that when they were doing that, he was stoking, you know, Kylo's emotions and his uncertainty. So what if it was actually Snoke while they were, you know, doing their little, you know, their little mind meld when they were talking? You know, what if it was Snoke that actually put that inside, you know, Kylo and Rey's head that her parents were nobody?
Because, well, that's totally possible. That, but it still would mean that she could be a Solo.
I agree. And even with Luke, when she showed up, you know, there were several times where he kept saying, you know, who are you? Where he almost seemed like there was, you know,
some level of recognition.
Yeah, like even when we watched the scene in Force Awakens when Kylo takes off the helmet, he takes off the helmet and pauses almost like he's just letting her look at him, waiting to see if there was some kind of recognition. To me, it echoed a little bit of that scene where almost like he's looking at her trying to figure out, you know, who she is, like there's some kind of recognition there.
There's still so much. I mean, I rewatched The Force Awakens right before I went and watched Last Jedi, and there's just so many things that lead to this, her being a Solo. Because like you said, throughout that whole movie, when they say there's a girl on Jakku, he flips the fuck out. He's like, what girl? And that to me means that he's aware that she is on that planet. Like, he was already aware that there was some chick of importance on Jakku. And then, okay, and we've also got the fact that the Falcon, coincidentally, is owned by the same guy that kind of looks out for and kind of almost owns Rey on Jakku, that junk trader guy. That's awfully coincidental to me. You know, of course, it could just be the Force working in mysterious ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, and here's something to think about, too. Even if she's not a Solo, you know, because even Luke mentions that, you know, the Skywalker bloodline. You know, you had Shmi Skywalker living on Tatooine, right? Now, we had mentioned previously, you don't have to have, Force doesn't have to run in your family, but as we've seen with the Skywalkers, it certainly does. But are you going to tell me that Shmi Skywalker is the only other Skywalker before that point?
Yeah, no, it can't be.
She can't be. She had to have parents, you know? Does she have any brothers or sisters? We don't know.
Hmm.
We have no idea. So there could be this, like, sort of like other Skywalker kind of bloodline that's not the main one from Anakin on that we know about. And even on top of that, J.J. Abrams has said that this last movie is going to tie together with this third entry, is going to tie together all of the trilogies.
Wow. Okay.
Well, one thing I also got to say that I noticed in The Last Jedi was that there were a lot of parallels being drawn between the Force connection between Luke and Leia and the Force connection between Kylo and Rey.
No, completely.
And to me, there were a lot of that where it's, you're showing brother and sister be connected in the Force, and then you're showing Kylo and Rey. And I know that Snoke explains it as, oh, well, I just bridged it. But, you know, I was thinking that wouldn't it be very much like a dark side user to have that kind of hubris and ego to maybe convince himself that he was the one that made that connection when in reality, maybe it was just that connection was already there.
Yeah. No,
it's possible, but I definitely saw the parallels being drawn there.
No, yeah, we still don't know. I don't believe Kylo, but if it is, it is. It's still a good story plot, but yeah, you kind of want her to be, you know, part of the Solo Skywalker line.
It's weird, you know, because even Kathleen Kennedy has said that they're not done telling the Skywalker story. Even after this trilogy, they're not done. So that either means that she either is a Skywalker, that, you know, Ben/Kylo Ren, whatever, is not going to die, and he's either going to be come back to the light, or he's going to have kids or something. There, if somewhere in there, there in the story, another Skywalker has got to pop up.
Yeah,
exactly. And for those listeners that are confused about this, Rey technically does have the Skywalker blood, so that would apply to that theory.
Oh.
Wait, how does she technically have the Skywalker blood?
Because she's Leia's, or she could. I'm sorry. She, according yeah, to that, like, theory, okay. According to that theory, that yeah. She's Leia and Han's daughter. Just according to that theory, she could have Skywalker blood.
I was going by what we have specifically in the movies of her, like, her not, of her basically being, you know, her parents being rando junkers that sold her.
Right, exactly. So, I'm just saying that it could, any of these theories could work.
Yeah,
I agree.
So they've left it wide open. So there's going to be 2 years of speculation, and we're going to have no fucking clue what's happening.
And in Force Awakens, Maz Kanata, who has a good cameo or a funny cameo in Last Jedi, but when Rey touches the lightsaber for the first time, Maz says that was Luke's, and it was his father's before his, and it calls to you. So, I mean, they're foreshadowing something, but then, you know, yeah, I'm so confused about the whole thing. It's like, well, why would it be calling to her if she's not part of it?
To me, she had it only makes sense if she's got the Skywalker blood in her. That's the only way all of this makes sense to me. They're going to have to do a whole lot of explaining if that's not the truth.
There'll be lots of explaining to do. All right, so let's get to the really cool, really... I think the second biggest twist at the end of the movie, it's the big battle. It's on is it on Crait with the salt?
Yes.
With all the red dirt coming up, which is salt. So the New Order is coming in strong with the new AT-ATs and ships, and they're going to destroy all the rebels and the rebellion. And for some reason, in walks Luke Skywalker. He has a talk with his sister Leia.
Luke Skywalker, who has more brown in his beard,
which is the
first thing I noticed. I was like, ah, something's weird here.
Well, he looked, because so you see him, and he's like old and disheveled. When he shows up, he looks kind of cleaner. He looks kind of younger. And you're like, okay, well,
he got a hair. He went to the male grooming salon before he went to Crate.
I mean, yeah, it's noticeable for sure. But then you see, like, okay, I guess he just kind of like, you know how in those movies where we didn't get the montage, but like you're shaving your head and you're getting all the weapons ready and you're like, okay, I'm ready to fight. So I just figure, like, okay, he's ready to fight. He's just not going to go in all disheveled. Maybe his beard will get cut by a lightsaber. But he has like a really nice talk with his sister Leia. He gives her something. And then basically it's like a slow motion walk out just himself to confront the entire army, basically, of the New Order. And then, guys, take it away. You guys.
Well, other things that make it stand out that the situation is a little bit off is that when he goes out there, he's wearing this kind of like these weird sort of like kind of like an amalgamation of like of Jedi robes where the stuff like kind of doesn't really look like it all fits together. Like he's got the black outfit, but then he's got like that weird brown belt on to where you're just kind of like, well, something just looks off. But then the other thing too is he pulls out the wrong lightsaber. Like he pulls out the old school Skywalker lightsaber as opposed to the lightsaber that we see him use,
the green one,
in Return of the Jedi with the green blade.
Yeah.
And in the flashbacks,
yep,
in Last Jedi, he's got the green blade when he's getting ready to cut down Kylo.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's perfect, but you're not thinking about that time because mostly you're just thinking about, holy shit, he's about to fight. We're about to see Luke fight. And then what happens? Basically, Kylo Ren's in the AT-AT, and it's like, fire everything on this guy.
AT-M6.
Okay,
the AT-M6. That's the big gorilla walker.
Yes, and like, fire everything, all guns to him. And then it's just like, for like 30 seconds, all these lasers and gun blasts, explosions on Luke Skywalker. The dust settles. Skywalker's still alive. You're just like, holy shit, did he just like put a force shield up that was impenetrable? I don't know.
And it was followed immediately by the one scene in the movie that I fucking hated.
Which was?
When he walks out of this, out of explosions, basically, and does the whole, you know, dust off of the shoulder thing.
That was amazing. I loved that.
I thought that was so fucking stupid. That was the one thing where I was like, it elicited an eye roll from me.
Oh, I like that.
I was just like, oh my God. If he had simply walked out, that would have been so much more badass if he had acted like it didn't even happen. To do the whole like dust up was a little too hip, a little too, you know,
on the nose.
Yeah, exactly. It was just didn't work for me.
I still liked it. So after
I thought it was okay because I basically felt like he was taunting.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was taunting Kylo.
Yeah,
but it looked too. Too American.
No,
I don't know how else to say it. It was just too,
it was
like,
way
millennial.
Too Han Solo to have been Luke Skywalker.
No, I mean, like, Han Solo, like, if he had been like, like that wouldn't have worked either. Like, there's a certain way he could have, you know, done it, like, a little bit differently. I don't know. It was just too, I felt like I was watching a fucking music video. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So, no, I liked it. It was good. So he steps out, and then Kylo's like, I'm going down there. So Kylo gets out. They both pull out their lightsabers. There's some Matrix-style moves and dodging and whatnot. And all of a sudden, Kylo Ren slices Luke in half. But Luke is not cut in half. He is very much intact. And then everybody's like, wait, what? And then just Kylo kind of just nonchalantly walks up there and just kind of like, again, nonchalantly just stabs him with the lightsaber and nothing happens. And that's when it cuts to, what does it cut to?
Basically, it cuts to Luke on his little island just doing a force projection. Basically, he's meditating and projecting this vision of himself
across the entire galaxy.
And sweating, and he's like straining himself with this incredible act of force power.
That moment got a huge applause in our theater, if I remember correctly, right, Jeremy?
It did.
Oh, man. It was crazy. And from there, it's just kind of like, oh, that this is a diversion for the rest to escape. And that's when we see Rey finally use a big portion of the Force.
Lifting some rocks.
Yep, lifting some rocks, which we've seen in previous movies, Star Wars style. So at this moment, what did you think? Like, initially, did you like, oh, so he's there, but is he going to still fight, or is the inevitable going to happen?
See, this is another absolute emotional roller coaster for me. It was the third big roller coaster in this movie where once Luke was doing that, I was like, oh my God, Luke's going to get killed. We're going to, like, Luke Skywalker's going to be dead in this movie and Han Solo's dead and I'm just going to have to cry myself to sleep tonight. And then it's revealed that he's just a Force projection. And I was like, oh my God, Luke's going to live. It's like, he's not going to die. I'm so happy. We're going to get Luke in the next movie too. And then the scene's over and he just keels over and fucking dies because he's okay. So tired.
Okay. That's not exactly right. He becomes one with the Force. He doesn't die. You're gonna get Force Ghost Luke in the next movie.
I know, but that's still fucking dying. You know, when your body is no more, you're dead. You're not alive.
What happened to Han Solo? You're dead.
They're still equally dead. If you're a fucking ghost, you're not alive. Uh-oh. You are unalive, therefore you are dead.
He's just on a different plane, and he's just going to be in the next movie. You're not going to get Han Solo in any death more only, Star Wars movies.
Death only refers to the death of the body. Han Solo's spirit still exists just in the same way that any of their spirits can exist.
Atterbury's super pissed about this right now. He just doesn't want to accept it. I just love that he let out, like, yay!
That's how I felt. I know we're going to get Luke Force Ghost, and I'm glad that we're going to get that, but it's still, you know, he's fucking dead. He's a ghost.
Well, he did, like, Jeremy put it best, like, he literally, from across the entire galaxy, was able to do so much that, yeah, Jeremy, you said it well, right? Like usually when you use the Force, it's like just within a few feet of you or something like that. And it's for a very small period of time. This went on for a long time, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like normally when you see anything, it's like it's short bursts. And when, you know, people get done using it, it's like they're physically exhausted because they can't use it all of the time.
Yeah. So when this
happened, say that he shot his proverbial Force load.
Basically,
he had a heart attack, a stroke, and an aneurysm all at once. And but it was good. Like, the first really big moment for Luke in the original Star Wars movie was him kind of looking at the suns, and that's kind of what we got here. Same theme and everything, which was cool.
Oh yes, the use of the themes in this movie were just killer.
They were. So yeah. So I guess. I mean, I guess we're not going to get a huge Luke fight scene, but we might. Well, who knows? Who knows what we're going to get? So let's talk a little bit before we go back to Luke. Let's talk a little bit about Finn and the new character Rose, I think her name was. I think Rose was the weakest link of the movie, but I still enjoyed her. But I still think she was the weakest link. What do you think?
I thought she was good. I thought the part that she had to play was kind of important, and it worked for me. It didn't bother me.
I think she didn't have to be there. I just think they needed somebody to go along with Finn for the way and, you know, show like there is light and love and all that stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed her. Just thought it was the weakest link. What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, you know, the whole casino thing, I kind of wish that wasn't in there because that was a really, really long scene. You know, everybody kind of was hoping that we were going to get a Lando cameo in this movie. And I almost would have rather them, instead of Maz sending them to this planet to find somebody they didn't know, I would almost have rather Maz just sent them to Lando and then Lando been like, oh, here's my guy. And then you could still have that be Benicio del Toro, and they could have some kind of little adventure. I just didn't feel like with that casino thing, I mean, that was a lot of time because you have to spend, you know, a good bit of it just establishing like that world and what it looks like and what's going on. You know, I would have rather have had less of that. And I also kind of wish that Poe had gone with them, because one of the best dynamics in this kind of like Star Wars run that they're doing with these movies is the Finn and Poe dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like we get like little kind of nuggets of it in each movie, and I always just want a little more.
I agree.
It's like, you know, they met in the first movie. They were together in the beginning, and then they met up again kind of in that one scene, you know, when Finn brings BB-8 to the base. And that's really the only time you see those guys. And in this one, you really only see them together in the very beginning when Finn wakes up, and then right before they go on that little mission.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I would have liked to have seen Poe go with them and you know.
Yeah, you could have, you're right. You could have just removed Rose from the whole thing and had just Poe go with Finn. Right.
Yeah.
And that would have been even better, probably.
And what's interesting about this movie is that there's no huge cliffhanger. It seems wrapped up, but you know it's not because Kylo and Rey are still doing their thing. But it almost seems like there's like a wrap up to it, you know? Like, I don't know how much time is going, because from Force Awakens to Last Jedi, there was like really no time in between, maybe a day. But with this one and the next one, there could be several years past, you know?
I think there's supposed to be a pretty good time jump between this one and the episode 9.
Which is kind of true between Empire and Jedi, I guess, because Luke is like completely done with training, basically, in Jedi, almost.
Yeah, they have that whole... You know, for those that choose to include this in that whole Star Wars world, that's like the Shadows of the Empire takes years to happen, basically.
Right. So, I bet you there'll be a little time jump. Everybody will regroup, and then it'll be a big all-out battle, which...
Yeah, you know, that's probably going to have something to do with what they decide to do with Leia, too. Because if it was taking up right afterwards, it would be really weird to not have Leia in there. But if you have it 5-10 years later, then it doesn't seem so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm good. I mean, I'm good with that. So I think we all like this movie. And I guess lastly, where do you think the third movie will take us?
Oh, I've got a list of things I would like to see happen in the next movie.
Let's hear it.
It's not as much where I think it's going to go, because after we watched the last movie, clearly we were not super accurate with where they took it. So this is less about what I think is going to happen. And this is kind of what I would like to happen. I would like Hux to find out that Kylo killed Snoke, because I think that would be an interesting kind of turn to where, because if he finds out Kylo killed Snoke, then if the army is loyal to Hux, then Kylo all of a sudden doesn't have, you know, like the big, you know, brawling army behind him. So I'd kind of like to see that. I would actually also like... I feel like if Rey is truly going to be a Jedi, you know, we didn't really get an explanation for what the Knights of Ren are and, you know, why they matter. But if Snoke is the master and Kylo's the apprentice, there's not really a reason for him to remain Kylo Ren or a Knight of Ren or whatever. I would actually like him to go Sith and take a Darth title. And with that, they also mention that, you know, that Kylo Ren left the temple with a handful of Luke's students. And I would really like it to be that they're still alive and Kylo basically has his own little mini Sith order, you know, with like 3 or 4, whatever, dark side little Sith people. So I would, you know, I'd like to see that. I want to see some Luke Force Ghost, and I really feel like they need to have Lando come into the movie, and not just as a cameo. I feel like they need to have him actually be kind of in the movie, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree.
I feel like you're most likely going to get Poe stepping up to be the new Resistance leader, but I still think they're going to need assistance of somebody who's kind of been like in the rebellion and kind of in the trenches for that. And I feel like Lando is probably your perfect and only choice at this point.
God, I hope so.
I hope so. Do you think?
So, yeah.
Do you think we'll see Chewie die?
No.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nope, nobody wants to see that. I agree.
There'd be revolt in the streets.
Funny.
Yeah, because Chewie's who gets the Falcon.
That's awesome. Yeah, I like it. I like it. John, anything to add?
Yeah, I think I would like to see all those same things that Jeremy just mentioned. I would like to see Rey create her own lightsaber.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's another thing.
I think that definitely needs to happen. She needs to have her own lightsaber. That's really important, actually. So I think we definitely need to see that. We need to see Rey. I would love to see Rey. In fact, you know, we're talking about tying all the trilogies together. I would love to see Rey being force trained by the ghosts of young Obi-Wan and Yoda and Luke. And like they're almost like the Jedi Council, but in force ghost status.
What about Mace Windu?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm not that worried about Windu, honestly. To me, he was a badass character in the prequel trilogy, but I don't care if he comes back.
Right. I feel like Rey needs a specific own lightsaber style, because Kylo, that kind of just like wild aggressive fighting makes sense for Kylo, but I feel like Rey needs to have her own fighting style, in the same way that when you watched Yoda fight and Obi-Wan Kenobi fight, and you watched Qui-Gon and Anakin Skywalker and Mace Windu, like all those dudes had their own vibe, and I feel like they need to do that for her as well.
Yeah, I agree. Similar to
Kylo. I agree completely.
I like that. No, I like all these ideas. We have to wait 2 years, but it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. It was so good. We love The Last Jedi. I'm going to see it again. I'm finally get to see it in IMAX, which I'm excited for. Jeremy's seen it twice. John, I guess you're going to see it twice before the end of the week end,
yep.
I guess. And I'll see it twice before the end of the weekend, and I'd imagine we'll see it at least once or two more times before
we buy it on Blu-ray, and then we'll watch it 100 more times.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, that is our Last Jedi podcast, Mediocrity. Hopefully you thought or had as much fun as we did in the movie. And seriously, go see this movie. It is so good. We loved it. It is part of who we are as people. I don't know. Is that true?
Yeah, probably. Definitely.
All right, good. Well, thanks for joining, Jeremy Meagher, Jonathan Atterbury. We are Mediocrity and The Last Jedi. May the Force be with you. Always.